Well, hello there, and welcome to my almost midlife crisis. I'm your host, Jennifer Mathis. This podcast is about that time in your life when you're not old, but you definitely aren't young either. In today's episode, we're talking about deal breakers. Most of us have them when we're considering who we allow in our lives, especially friends, family, and romantic relationships. But as we get older, these deal breakers evolve along with our expectations. So if you're wondering if maybe it's time you adjust your deal breakers, or maybe you're in the need of setting some in the first place, then this one's for you. I saw a thread on Reddit the other day that was asking about deal breakers, and it got me thinking, what are my deal breakers? Also, when I saw a lot of the answers, they were squarely focused on romantic relationships. But I believe that there are deal breakers in all of our relationships, aren't there? To me, deal breakers really are just expectations you have for someone. It's what you're willing to accept to have them in your life. Because let's be honest, everyone comes with some negatives. Everyone, no exceptions. Because we're human, and therefore we will make mistakes, and we are not perfect. And yes, that includes you and me. So if you consider that definition, then deal breakers exist for friends, family, coworkers, jobs, your romantic relationships. Also, deal breakers evolve. They change as we get older along with our expectations. So let's talk about deal breakers when you're closing in on or already in middle age. Because if your expectations have never changed, then it's time to download that update, honey. Today, let's discuss friendships and romantic relationships. So our friends are a critical part of our life. In some cases, we don't have a biological family, and therefore our friends become our family. In other cases, maybe we prefer them over the family that we have. Friendships evolve over a lifetime and have the same ebbs and flows as a long-term romantic partnership. And guess what? So do our expectations. In some cases, we hold them more accountable than our romantic partners, which for the record, I actually don't agree with. When we're younger, let's say our 20s, or whatever for you is prior to being in the workplace and having families at least, we expect our friends to always be available, day or night. Like we could call them because we're bored at 1 a.m. and they'll pick up and talk to us. That has definitely changed. I mean, now if I call my friends after 9 p.m., there better be an emergency. Post 9 p.m., if my phone is ringing, I am assuming someone is in trouble. Something horrible has happened. They need to be bailed out of jail, like you name it. But it's something that wasn't important enough that there's no way it could have waited until tomorrow. Well, that is unless you're my brother who once called me at 4 a.m., woke me out of a deep sleep to ask me if I needed anything from Target on Black Friday. Do you know how terrifying it is to see your sibling calling you at 4 a.m.? And then how annoying it is to find out that nothing is wrong other than they must have lost their goddamn mind to be thinking that it's okay to call you at that hour? No, Dave. There is nothing in the world that I want bad enough to be at a Target at 4 a.m. Nothing. Also, I will never wait in line to enter a retail store for any reason, ever. It does not matter the time, actually. At no time is waiting in line for a store appropriate. Small tangent here, but I live off of Michigan Avenue in Chicago. And if you haven't been there, you've probably heard of it. It's a long street. It's usually called Magnificent Mile or Mag Mile. And it's lined with stores like Nordstrom, UGG, Zara, Tiffany's. Like, you get the point. Every single day, I see people waiting in line to enter at least one store. The worst offenders are Burberry, Apple, UGG, Zara, and Nike. Now, Nike and Apple are usually because something was just released. Maybe it's a new pair of Air Jordans or it's the next iPhone iteration. But is that even an excuse? Because correct me if I'm wrong, but if that is available, if it's available online, then what are you doing spending hours of your life waiting to buy something in a store when you can just buy it with a click of a button or a tap of your finger? I mean, I get hobbies and I get passions and I respect that, but I am very honest when I say there is nothing that I would stand in line to buy that I could just buy online. Like, I am not a patient person, but I am patient enough to wait for it to be delivered if that means I don't have to wait in that line. Anyway, sorry, I digress. Clearly a pet peeve of mine. But when it comes to phone calls, when we get older, there's a time limit on non-emergency calls. There remains no time limit, though, on emergency calls. In fact, the opposite. If I do call you in the middle of the night, I really hope that you're going to pick up. I would say that I expect you to pick up. However, I think in that situation, I would actually be screwed because most people I know sleep with their phone on silent or even on do not disturb. So if shit was going down, they wouldn't even know. And they'd probably sleep right through my emergency call. My selection would actually be severely limited in that situation. So I'd have to be pretty strategic. But my deal breakers for my friends are pretty simple, but they're important. Show up when I need you. Be genuinely happy for my wins and empathetic to my losses. Be honest with me at all times. And that includes when you're mad at me, because at some point you probably will be. Lift me up. Don't tear me down. And make an effort to keep up the friendship, to keep it alive. I mean, these sound simple and maybe obvious, but I didn't always hold my friends accountable for these. And notice what I didn't include, though. I didn't include time limits on things, like the need to respond to me in X number of hours, or I need to see or talk to them at least once a month. Or I think that, you know, at the end of the day, when we're getting older, when that really starts to set in, you know, I have close friends that I only talk to maybe 3 or 4 times a year. I have close friends that are mostly text, and then we get together once a month over video chat. I have close friends that I see really regularly as well. And all of these are 100% acceptable because as adults, we get busy, and so do our friends. We realize that our friendships are a part of our lives. It's not this, like, these people are not the center of it, and we are not the center of theirs. They have careers, families, significant others, and other things that require their attention. But I think even though we tend to spend less time with our friends as we get older, just in general, the time that we spend together is more precious. Like, we appreciate it more because as our lives get busier, it takes effort to maintain friendships. And we also know our time is valuable. And therefore, when we choose to spend time with our friends, what we're really saying is, I choose to allocate some of my valuable time to you because you matter and our friendship is worth it. Now, on the flip side, as we get older and busier and pulled in other directions, some friendships naturally die off. And that's okay too, because we have less and less free time to allocate to friendship. So it's only natural that some sort of prioritization needs to happen. Basically, we're saying, I no longer want to waste your valuable time because I'm not willing to live up to your expectations of friendships and you don't live up to mine. And that's okay. Now, when it comes to romantic relationships, deal breakers are essential, yet I don't know, it seems like they're also more likely to be ignored. How many people do you know that you just watch them ignore red flags in a partner? Maybe that person is staring you in the mirror. Side note, I saw a social post, yes, okay, TikTok, because that's mainly the social network that I go on, but I saw it the other day, and it said that cisgender straight couples stole the title partner from the LGBTQ community. And I found this interesting for two reasons. First, it feels like there's enough in the world for us to be upset about other than where the term partner came from when describing our romantic relationships. And second, if cisgender straight couples did quote unquote steal this term, it's probably because our other options we have available come with a ton of baggage on the expected gender roles within relationships that we are not aligned to. Maybe we use partner to describe our significant other to emphasize that we are equals in the household and the relationship. So in a way, both groups are using partner because of an antiquated societal expectation put on our relationships that we are trying to break free of. So let's not argue. Let's focus on the real problem here. And I'll give you a hint. It's not who came up with the word partner first. Anywho, another tangent. I'm full of tangents today. So anywho, The deal breakers within romantic relationships are heavily dependent on the expectations of said relationship. So if you're just looking for a booty call, your deal breakers could be pretty simple. Like, you need to have good hygiene and no STDs and transparency in partners. You need to be good in bed, like, you name it. But if you're looking for something long term, then the deal breakers are very different. I mean, you still want everything I just mentioned, maybe minus the transparency of other partners. I guess unless you want to have like an open relationship or something like that, which honestly, like, I don't get. I feel like the thought of it is better than the reality of it. But hey, you know what? To each his own, like, no judgment. Maybe your deal breaker is tied to religious beliefs or political parties or if they want children or not. And that all totally is valid and makes sense. Maybe there is a financial deal breaker. And I feel like just by me saying that and bringing up finances, that some people would say that that's shallow or that it shouldn't matter who makes more money, blah, blah, blah. I beg to differ here, okay? One of the top causes of divorce is financial incompatibility. So that's not necessarily one person has money and one doesn't. But it's that both people in the relationship are not in alignment with how they handle the finances. So, you know, maybe this is an area that deserves more attention. So what is the financial deal breaker in a relationship? Do you need someone to be able to hold their own? Do you want someone to stay at home? Are you willing to deal with a partner that can't manage their finances appropriately? Like, maybe they're always forgetting to make payments or spending more than they make or racking up debt or not saving, you name it. Their financial well-being impacts you, especially if you get married. Their debt is your debt. Deal breakers also include how they treat you and make you feel. So my deal breakers for my marriage are I require respect, emotional support, a present partner that and someone that considers me their equal. I also require a partner that is confident in their own self and in our relationship, that they don't mind the time that we spend apart and they support me spending time with friends. I require someone that has their own passions and individual goals, but that also enjoys doing things together and takes me into consideration for future planning. I'm sure there's a lot more, but these are not really things that I thought of as much when I was dating in my 20s, and I definitely didn't hold others accountable for these expectations. If anything, I think dating in my 20s actually helped me develop and identify my deal breakers. That's actually the number one reason I believe that it's better to get married after you've had a chance to date around a bit. And listen, a bit could mean a lot depending on the person. And you, again, like, whatever you need to figure out what your deal breakers are, go do that before you get married. Because dating is what helps you realize what is truly important and actually what doesn't really matter. Like, him being messy or clean, at the end of the day, doesn't actually really matter. Like, him being maybe good or not good around the house and fixing stuff, doesn't matter. Like, those are things that don't matter. Like, deal breakers also shouldn't be things where you're really picky about stuff that doesn't really affect things at the end of the day, because that's the other part about long-term relationships. They're never going to work if you don't pick your battles. Deal breakers have a negative connotation, but they shouldn't. Deal breakers are really just boundaries set up that align with our expectations. They help us prioritize those that have access to us and our valuable time. They give us a framework to hold others accountable. As we get older and as we're getting pulled in more directions, deal breakers are essential. So what are your deal breakers? What are your expectations for your friends, for your family, for your significant other? And are you holding them accountable? Or are you ignoring red flags? Be honest with yourself. And maybe take steps today to honor your deal breakers. Because holding others accountable to your deal breakers means honoring yourself. And that should always be your top priority. So thank you for listening. Please share this with anyone you think maybe is in need of reconsidering their deal breakers, or maybe even needs the courage to uphold them. Please leave a review so others can find this podcast as well. And if you like the blog version of this podcast delivered to your inbox, you can subscribe at myalmostmidlifecrisis.com. And of course, you can follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Until next time.